The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers Dungeons & Dragons podcast. So glad that you could join us again this week. Hope you heard that sound right. That's Rodrigo over there.
Hello.
You don't hear Brian and Rob giggling, yet you hear Matthew over there.
I'm always over.
I think people for listeners for Critical Hit have learned to dread that increase in audio quality.
Yes,
because they know that we're recording it on the major spoiler side, which means that you're not listening to a
story. Today is not a gameplay podcast. It's not a role play podcast. And it's certainly not a Celestial Crusade podcast. But today, though,
I'm going home.
A mechanics podcast, mm-hmm. Right? So we are at a point now. Our heroes have just found something, the twin perfect stars.
Mm-hmm.
And it is now time to level up, level up, level up!
Yay!
All the way to number 9. Can you believe we've been doing this for 2 years and we have yet to hit number 9?
Yep.
Number 9.
Number nine.
So, Rodrigo, what happens at level 9? Give us a brief overview of level 9. Well, and then we're going to go and look at Torque and Aurum.
Right. Odd-numbered levels are pretty easy.
Yes.
Pretty much you just get a new power.
Yay!
And more hit points based on your class.
I want all the powers.
Yes, I'm aware
of
this.
I want all the hit points.
But by both a strict and generous reading of the rules, that's
impossible.
That's not how the game goes.
By the way, Rodrigo, we're going to use the Robin Scherbatsky drinking game every time you say
Man, take a drink. So drunk.
Nice. I know, we'll be plastered inside of 5 minutes.
Woohoo! Anyway.
There was a group of people who were doing a drinking game every time I made a reference.
On one of the most recent shows, somebody really was like, oh my gosh, 5 minutes in, I was so out of it.
Well, you know, I do use the whole and stuff like that, you know, for two reasons. One, obviously, to give myself some time to think, and two, to give myself some time to cool down rather than just screaming my head off at you guys.
Oh, you scream at us. Yes. Okay, so here we are, level 9. So
we get
a power and some hit
Spanish
points.
For a rotten bastard, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens?
That's about it. You get more hit points, pick your power, and continue to very, very much think about your Paragon path.
Mm.
Since now we are 2 levels away from it.
That starts at 10?
11.
At 11. Why doesn't it not start at 10? Like
Because levels 1 through 10 are heroic tier.
Oh, okay.
Levels 11 through 20 are Paragon tier, and 21 through 30 are
God tier.
Yeah, basically epic
it's
tier.
It's like you don't get to call yourself 40 until you've actually lived 40 years, so
right.
Technically you're in your 41st year.
No! Stop!
Steve, you've looked the same since you were 26 years old.
Yeah, my face just
it's not even like you're aging.
Bigger and bigger.
You're not aging, you're just getting wider.
Yes, I know. We'll fix that. Let us walk through Torque and his upgrade to the next level.
So at level 9, you get a new daily power, and daily powers are a big deal.
Yes, they are.
Which also means that Aurum is going to get two.
Because, one for utility and one for...
No.
Just because he's awesome.
Wizards, every daily and every utility power that they get two, and they get to choose one every day that they prepare.
Yes.
So... I think you were basically saying the same thing. You just don't want to say the word utility because that in game terms means something else.
Yes, exactly.
It's more of a futility power.
Right.
But I still only get to pick one daily. Is there ever a point?
No, you get to pick two dailies.
Oh, I get to pick two dailies. Okay.
Right.
Right, right. But I mean, there's there's never a point where I get to go beyond that number, beyond the two.
No.
Do you ever get like five daily powers or anything like that that I can have at the same time?
Well, right now you're going to have three daily powers, like basically six daily powers, three of which you can use per day.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. That's what I was asking. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So
then at 11, I'd have four, and then at 13, I'd have.
Well, no, not specifically, because you get every other level, you get a daily, then an encounter, then a daily, then an encounter.
Right, right.
Furthermore, once you hit level 13, you're going to start swapping out powers instead of getting more.
Oh, okay. All right.
So basically, you'll just be able to trade in your powers for more powerful versions of those powers.
Okay.
Let's say powers.
Powers.
Torque. Well, for Torque, we can say exploits, because that's technically what the martial powers are called.
Ooh. But by Torque's powers combined, yep. You are
Captain chopped in half.
Planet.
All right. So we can look at some of Torque's powers here. Basically, we can start one of two ways. We can either start with, you know, what do you want his new powers to do? Uh-huh. Or we can start with, is there anything that Torque is doing now that you want to do more of? Or is there anything that you think Torque lacks right now that we can maybe make up with a power?
Just from the perspective of hitting things really hard and like that, I'm kind of enjoying the burst power that I got at level 3 and level 7. And I didn't know if there was anything that would basically increase the effectiveness of the strikes, you know, even if it's just a daily, something that would allow multiple targets or multiple strikes would be ideal, but I don't think that the mechanics work that way anymore.
There is a power, actually. It's a lower level power that we could look into trading, but you'd probably have to trade out one of your bursts for a power that allows you to attack twice. You know, actually literally take two attacks. So, you know, that might not be worth it. But let's look at Terrifying Impact. You can find it in page 13 of Martial Power.
Marital Power, page 13. Okay, hang on. Where's my book?
And I'm looking here at the compendium, which will have the most recent version of it if it was...
Now, are the compendiums, are those free on the Wizards website, or do you have to be the insider?
No, you have to be on the insider to be able to access the compendium, I believe.
Okay.
Terrifying Impact, daily invigorating martial weapon, standard action melee weapon, primary target one creature, strength versus AC, hits for two weapon plus strength mod. If you're wielding an axe, hammer, or mace, extra damage equal to your con. So be two weapon plus strength mod plus con mod.
Mm-hmm.
Effect, make a secondary attack, which has the fear keyword.
Mm-hmm.
So my constitution versus will. So that second attack would push the target one square in any direction.
Yep. So basically
I hit somebody so hard that I actually scare someone adjacent to him or within three squares of him.
Right.
And I can push him where I want?
You can push him one square in any direction, yeah.
Ooh.
Now remember, a push has to be away from you, so if they're up against a corner or anything like that, then you know you wouldn't be able to push them.
I couldn't push them into the wall and like knock them unconscious.
You could push them into the wall.
That would hurt.
Yeah.
So that secondary attack, the fear keyword, so there's no physical damage involved.
Right. The thing is, though, it is actually an attack, and I'll have to double check the rules, but I think this is legal. Basically, when you make that attack, you can mark everything within three squares because you're making an attack against it.
Each enemy within... Oh, so I can literally push multiple enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we're bunched up again like we were in the last combat with Torque, where there are three bad guys. If I actually attack one, I can literally push the other two one square of my choosing.
Mm-hmm.
So I could push them closer together if I wanted to.
As long as you're pushing them simultaneously closer together, but away from you.
A secondary attack would mean I'd roll the 20. No. Constitution, yeah.
Yeah, you would roll another attack. As far as I can tell, the secondary attack doesn't lose the weapon keyword, so you would actually... You would be substituting your strength modifier for your con modifier, so it would be at a lower value. Mm-hmm. And we'd have to figure that out and just have that written down. Right,
what's your strength modifier? We don't get abilities at odd levels, so we won't be like juicing any of our numbers.
Right. So your strength your strength modifier is 5, right? And your con modifier is 2. So correct. you would be making the attack that you always make minus 3, basically.
I would still get the bonus associated with whatever weapon I'm handing.
Yeah, you're still, because it has the weapon keyword, you still get the bonus to the weapon. Okay. You still get the proficiency bonus for the weapon itself, not just the enhancement, but also the proficiency, etc.
So looking at, say, the battle axe, if I were to attack with the battle axe that Thony gave me,
mm-hmm.
right now, based on the numbers at level 8, a physical attack is a plus 14 bonus. So essentially, what it would be, that secondary attack would be at a plus 11,
mm-hmm.
since it would take out my ability modifier for strength, but it would sub my con modifier, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's actually a pretty strong candidate. Are there any other options in terms of things that seem to make sense?
As far as burstiness, I think so. Let me look here.
Jackal Strike. What's a Jackal Strike?
Jackal Strike is actually pretty strong. It's basically an attack that you can make as a free action when an enemy marked by you becomes bloodied. So you make an attack, it deals 3 weapon damage, which is pretty huge.
Wow, that's a lot.
Oh, it is.
So if the character is marked,
mm-hmm.
and then let's say Randa strikes him and he becomes bloodied, the next time Torque hits, it would be how much damage?
No.
If Randa has a free action.
Right. If Randa's hits him.
Uh-huh. Well, I know.
All right.
I'm giving these right, no.
Let's be serious.
If Ket hits him.
Right. If Ket hits him and somehow that D4 of damage bloodies him.
Right.
And Torque is within range of his weapon, which has to be adjacent for the battle axe.
Okay.
Then immediately Torque can make an attack against him.
Wow.
He can make this attack, and if he hits, it'll deal 3 weapon damage.
Wow. And then he still gets to go again when he turns.
He can act normally.
But this is only a one-time action, so he can't continue to get free actions.
He can do this once per day.
Oh, okay. All right.
Period. Yeah, no matter how many fights you're in, as long as he doesn't get a full night's rest, he can't do this again.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's pretty huge.
Yeah, it is.
Level 9 daily attack powers, as far as heroic tier, are... This is actually the last heroic tier daily that you're going to get.
Okay.
So, these are all pretty beefy.
These are huge.
Yeah. I mean, again, with the tag that you can only use them once per day, they are pretty severe.
I'm looking at one that's not really in that burstiness, but the fighter's recovery.
Yeah, fighter's recovery is basically the next. It's the level up version of what's it called? I forget. But never mind. Oh no, I'm actually looking at a different one. Yeah, fighter's recovery allows you to regain the use of an encounter power. Mm-hmm. As long as you have already used all your encounter attack powers.
Ah, I did not catch that. As long as.
Right. So if you did take fighter's recovery, obviously you'd want to lead with your encounter powers.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually that's an effect. So even if you don't hit, you would still recover one of your encounter powers. And once you triggered the attack, you would get to choose which one.
Okay, now, do you have Marital Power 2?
I have access to the things that come out of it, yeah.
One against many, level 9 daily fighter attack.
Mm-hmm.
2 weapon plus strength, close burst 1, targets each enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And till the end of the encounter, I gain a plus 1 power bonus to all defenses, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Well, 2 or more enemies are adjacent to you, and a plus 1 power bonus to attack rolls while no allies are adjacent to you.
So, as we like to call that, when we're in combat.
Right. Because you hang out with a bunch of zappy guys.
Yeah. The zappy guys don't want to be where I am.
Right.
And I generally don't want to be where they are, because that usually means that, you know, I'm right in the middle of a ball of fire or under attack by a thing.
Yep. So now the thing about this one, and you know, I mean, no disrespect whatsoever by it, but you'll have to keep track of it. Like, this is something that's going to affect your stats for the remainder of the fight. You know, and even a plus 1 can get pesky, where you're like, attack roll, blah, 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 and then later you're like, ah, shoot, I forgot my plus 1 for this attack that I always have for the remainder of this fight as long as I use this power.
Right.
So, you know, for me, personally, as a player, I usually avoid these because I always forget those bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do that and want to, like, buy yourself a little counter or something like that to signify that you've done it or something like that, just something visual to represent it, I would recommend that.
Okay.
But this one is another one that's a burst.
Yeah. I'm looking in my PHB.
And then, lastly, from the PHB, there's one that I might recommend is Victorious Surge, which is the one that I was starting to talk about. It's the upgraded version of Recovery Strike, I think is what it's called.
Uh-huh.
And that one, it's basically the same power, except that you deal 3 weapon damage instead of 2 weapon damage.
Victorious Surge. You do understand that I will be making Victoria's Secret jokes constantly.
Sure.
If we take that power.
I assume so I really don't try to, you know, withhold information from you anymore with the fear that there's going to be some reference that goes to it. That's true. Just no way. I can't spend that much time thinking about things, Matthew. I've got other things to think. Yes.
You would have to actually know all the references that I know.
Exactly. Which,
from the references. And you have a daytime job.
I certainly do not want to gaze that deeply into the void.
And that's 3 weapon plus strength, and then I regain hit points as if spending a healing surge. But it doesn't spend a healing surge.
That's right.
Ooh, now that's a strong one. I got my PHB. Anything good in, like, the PHB2 that I should look at?
No, the PHB2 doesn't have any fighter powers.
Okay. And I have a PHB3 over here someplace. Any good there?
Also, no. Those are also going to have...
Those are psionic and
right,
divine
right.
And like that. Okay, so...
Yeah, so, you know, basically... And there are powers that are going to be similar, but you're... I would say that the 3 potential options are Jackal Strike, which is going to give you a power that you can use as a reaction. Mm-hmm. Or... your Terrifying Impact, one against many type power, which is going to be a burst, or your Victorious Surge, which is going to help heal you. And right now, Torque has, except for the free action power, he has something that is like those other 2 powers. So, you know, it's just up to you whether you want to kind of... basically sort of round him out as far as the fighter power suite, or say, well, you know, the thing that really defines Torque in a fight is that he's unstoppable, so the fact that he can keep healing himself by hitting people is optimal. Yeah. Or the thing that defines Torque is that he's unstoppable, so the fact that he can hit anything within a 6-mile radius by swinging his axe, you know. I mean, really,
staggering blow.
Let's see, staggering blow.
Marital Power, page 14.
Mm-hmm.
Or Marital Power 2, rather.
For this one, you have to have a hand free.
Oh, not going to happen.
Right, so you would need a one-handed weapon that you don't... Yeah, this one is for the... because basically, fighters are defined by basically what they have in their hands. So either 2-weapon fighting, single weapon fighting with a shield, single weapon fighting without a shield, sort of with a hand free for a brawler type, and like double weapon fighting. And Torque, you know, when you first make the fighter, you have to make the choice as to where you're going to go with that. And Torque is a two weapon fighter. Yeah, there's a couple of powers at this level too that call for shields, and obviously, you know,
less likely.
Right.
I don't know. Am I? Well, I guess I would have to be shield certified.
Torque can use shields, but you would lose your. Basically, you can't use a two handed axe and have a
but
shield.
But I wouldn't
in
be
one
able
hand.
To use my primary weapon.
Right. Source. Right. Basically, you would be going down, if you had, you know, the next best axe, you would be going down a die size as far as damage, and you would be going down a couple points because of the way your character's build for attack, like, to hit. So,
and not to mention the fact that my primary weapon is, in fact, heavily enchanted.
Right,
which
right.
Which would mean that, you know, when you got a magical weapon, you kind of stick with it.
Yep.
Unless it breaks, and they almost never do.
Yep.
Okay, so Hobbling Cut is definitely out,
mm-hmm.
which I think is kind of funny. Terrifying Impact is terrifying. Now, that's a one creature attack with a secondary attack.
Right. And
One Against Many is a burst attack with twiddly fiddly bits.
Right. That one basically buffs you for the rest of the fight.
But it involves lots and lots of numbers. And we've proven in the past that I'm not really good about, hey, did you take into account Randus's bonus?
Right.
You know, that's
another important thing because, let's see, I'm pretty sure, what was that one called?
One Against Many.
One Against Many, right. That is a power bonus that you get both to your attack and defense, which means that it won't stack with any bonuses that Randus gives you, because will almost always be power bonuses. Then again, you're not with Randus right now, so
that's true.
You know, for the foreseeable future, I don't think that Albrecht is as big into the buffs.
Kid,
he's much more of a direct hit point.
Sometimes you just machine. Have to say kid. Like you're saying, Kit. All right, so One Against Many has a negative. Well, it's not even a negative. It's not really conducive with Matthew's playstyle, even if it's appropriate for Torque. I think that it's probably too numbery, and especially in the midst of a battle where, you know, Aurum's got his two things and we'll be going back and forth. I think it's going to be.
Yep.
One Against Many is probably not, as you would say, optimal for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of breaks it down to the Victoria's Surge versus Terrifying Impact versus Jackal Strike.
Right.
So Jackal Strike. Now, these are all dailies.
Yep.
Victoria's Surge is a one-creature attack. Jackal Strike is a one-creature attack. Jackal Strike, I think, seems more, and this is going to come out very, very snotty. it seems like it's more aimed at a fighter who works with other fighters. I'm not saying that it's unlikely for a creature to become bloodied without Torque being involved. And I guess it still works even if I bloody the creature who's marked.
I'm pretty sure,
take
yeah.
The free action.
An enemy marked with you becomes bloodied. So, yeah, you could take two attacks in a row on someone that you bloody.
That secondary attack and hit three weapon strength. Whereas Terrifying Impact would give me a little more control of the battlefield, or at least the placement of the bad guys in the battlefield. Mm-hmm. Victoria's Surge has much more referential potential. I mean, underwear jokes pretty much write themselves.
Right. Especially since one of Torque's magic items is a garter.
He said garter. So three weapon plus strength on the Victoria's Surge. Well, three weapon plus strength plus healing versus two weapon strength plus a secondary attack plus a bonus attack.
Here's one more thing that you might want to consider as far as Terrifying Impact. When you use it, successfully and you hit lots of things and then move them around, are you going to be okay with basically Rob second guessing every movement that you make? Because
no,
that's going to happen.
No, don't do that. Move them here. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, that's a rough one. Because, you know, people think Rob and I hate each other. And we really
right.
don't. It's like, I'm the bulldog walking down the street. And Rob is the other dog going, hey, what are we going to do today, Spike? What are we going to do today, huh? What are we going to do today, huh?
Pretty much. Yeah.
He's like the little brother I never had and didn't really care to have. And now that I have him, I'm not sure, you know, what to do. I would say that, well, just looking at it in terms of the numerical, the way Torque's brain works. So I can hit something and I can get better, or I can hit something again after I've already hit it, or I could hit something and then scare other people around. I say terrifying impact is probably, yeah. I think terrifying impact is something that would work towards what, you know, I think in my Paragon path,
mm-hmm.
Torque is going to be what I would like to see. Have you ever seen the Mighty Heroes cartoon?
I don't think so. What was that one about?
That was about, the Mighty Heroes, Rope Man, Strong Man, Diaper Man, Cuckoo Man, and Tornado Man.
Mm-mm.
And I always just imagine Torque as like this spinning vortex of fury with sharp edges and drool.
Okay.
So now if I take it and I don't like it, we won't be able to trade these out until level 11, right?
At level 10, you can trade this one out.
I could retrain if I
need. You can retrain one thing, either a skill training, feat, or power, but only one of those per level.
Torque does get killed a lot.
Yeah.
Jackal Strike as a daily. Whereas with the second wind and the third wind and the other wind.
Right. And unstoppable.
Yeah. Let's go with the Victorious Surge.
Okay.
And then if I decide that the road less traveled on that terrifying impact sounds fascinating, I think the Victorious Surge is probably going to be acceptable.
All right.
Okay, so that is a daily.
Yep.
Which means that on my list, it should be red.
No.
No?
Well, hopefully not. They're usually gray or black.
Really?
The encounter powers tend to be red.
What are my other dailies? Let me see. You got my card right in front of you, don't you?
I do not, actually. But I believe Cometfall Charge is one of them. And I keep forgetting what the hell that healing one is called. That you already have.
Third Wind?
No, it's an attack power.
Rejoin the fray. Ally uses a healing power. I can stand up and shift.
Nope.
Comeback Strike?
Comeback Strike. That's the one.
That one's.
Yeah, me. That's a daily.
Okay. I have Comeback Strike. Excuse me, color-coded black, but for some reason Cometfall Charge is red, so I got confused. Let me fix that.
Well, let me just double-check that we're right about that.
Daily martial weapon, yeah.
Yep.
Unstoppable is daily as well. But it's a utility power.
Right. So utility powers can, yeah, utility powers can be any type, either at will, daily, or encounters, depending on the potency of the power, basically.
Okay. All right, so All right. I think I'm good with that.
Okay.
Victorious Surge. So, daily healing. What does the reliable keyword indicate?
Reliable means that if you don't hit with it, you don't expend the power.
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, your other damn healing power also is also reliable.
My other damn healing power? The one that you can't remember?
Yep.
Which would be what? The comeback strike.
Comeback strike is also reliable, yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Has that ever happened?
I think maybe once.
Because I don't recall the reliable. Again,
I know that reliable. I know that reliable powers have come up before during the game, but I don't remember when. Or I'm pretty sure that you're the only one that's packing any sort of reliable powers. So it probably was you, but who knows?
Some days it seems like I'm the only one with a reliable weapon too. But that's not
that's true.
A magic missile always hits with.
That's eight true. That's true.
Yeah. Magic missile 8 points hits. Of damage in the face. Okay.
So
pew, 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 pew. I have added the Victorious Surge to my fighter time dot document. Mm-hmm. So my level is 9. Does my initiative change? No, because half levels are still half levels at half levels.
Yep.
When they're odd. Speed doesn't change. Senses don't change. Defenses do not change.
Nope. Hit nothing will change except for your hit points. Yep.
Let's talk hit points.
Okay.
I got some of them.
Yep. I do not remember what the...
That's fun to do.
Let's see.
Well, as of this moment, I have 78 hit points. I think it's a monumental day, Critical Hittites. I'm changing the font on my character sheet.
Nice.
Because I had been using the font that we used for the website, whose name does remain nameless, although I don't know that it has to. Okay. So with my hit points.
Say what now?
Sup with my hit points.
I don't know. I'm looking. Okay. If only I had some kind of book that had this information instead of the...
My hit points only went up by 4.
Which book am I looking in? PHB?
PHB. It should be the first page of the fighter. There should be a sidebar that says... First page of
fighter. Okay, hang on. Level 6 utility powers, level 3 utility prayers. I am no longer in the fighters, I'm in the clerics. Prayers.
Well, Matthew's doing that. I'm going to open up one of the final boxes of Lords of Madness figures that they had at our local Hastings.
Ooh.
Let's see what I got.
Maybe Aragon Pass? No, that ain't it.
I got a giant black orc man. What is this? An Oni. I got an Oni Knight Hammer.
Cool.
I got a... What is this guy? A Zing Champion.
He's untight.
A Human Town Guard.
He's a champion of Zings. Zing!
Yep.
What is this guy? An orc war chief? Ooh, that one's pretty cool.
War chief.
And some other knighty guy. Oh, a knight skeleton guy.
Alright, I believe it'll be 6 hit points per level.
And there's yet something else.
I'm not finding it at the beginning of the fighter stuff.
Okay. Are you looking at a dragonborn guy going, bah?
Yeah.
Okay, there should be a gray beige-like sidebar there. And if you just go down, it'll say hit points per level gain in one of the entries.
Dude, he looks like a bullet.
I got a giant wolf.
Cool.
Can we fight a land shark at some point?
Probably.
Hit points at first level. Hit points per level gained, 6.
All right.
Healing surges so, per day, 9 plus con. So
that's 6 more levels for you, or 6 more hit points for you.
6 more levels. So, that makes me level 16.
Yeah, I know. That would be huge. So 6 more hit points, which means then you have to go back and look at your bloodied value and your surge value.
Your bloodied value is half
of your hit points, and your surge value is a quarter of your hit points.
And if it doesn't round, we round down?
Yep.
Okay, so surge value is 21. Surges per day, does that change?
Nope.
So I still have 13 of those. I'm confused because that... No, never mind. Okay, so I seem to be leveled up.
There you go.
I am level 9.
Ding! Yay!
Watch this. I'm going to go level 9 too. I'm in the character builder up on the D&D Insider. Look, I click this button up to level 9.
Yay!
So in D&D Insider, all I have to do is click on level up to 10, and automatically we're just talking about hit points. My hit points goes up to 57.
You're leveling up to 9, dude.
I mean, I level up to 9, and then it says my hit points
go up to 57. Are you sure? Because if I say that you're leveled up to 10, all right.
And then it lights up a select power, and I can choose one power.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can go down to that little tab, and then I click choose power. Yep. There are all sorts of things that I can bring up here.
Right. So
you're looking for something that's Orami. Do you have one that says detest Harry Potter?
I see one that says kill Torque, called Face of Death.
First off, before you get very far.
Yes.
Here are some that I will automatically discourage you from taking because they're from Dragon Magazine instead of like a printed book.
Okay, and why is that a discouragement?
Because they're not as rigorously playtested.
Ah, okay.
And are often either thematically weird, like they will just like there's a lot like with Kat, you know, as Rob's been leveling up. He always comes to me and is like, hey, can I take this power? And I'm like, no, that's not a warlock power. And he's like, what says warlock on? And he's like, no, that's a cleric power. Mm. They just gave it to the warlock because clearly whoever was writing this article didn't actually understand what a warlock was supposed to do.
Okay.
Not always an issue. But here are the ones at level 9 that come from Dragon Magazine or other sources that I don't like.
Okay.
Particularly. Animate Dead, Summon Hellhound, Summon Succubus. And Tome of Transposition and Fire Scythe, I believe.
So let me just take a look at this summon succubus.
Mm-hmm.
You summon a medium succubus in an unoccupied square or unoccupied space within range. Speed 6, fly 6, resist 10 fire. You can give the succubus the following special commands. Standard action. Okay, You can dominate a character until the end of your next turn. Once the creature has been dominated, the target cannot be dominated by the succubus again in this encounter.
Do I want to know what dominated means?
Shifts one square.
I'm pretty sure you've been dominated before. It basically means the other person controls your turn.
Well, that sucks.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of restrictions to it. Basically, they can only have you take one action, but they get to decide what that action is.
So, does that mean this says it's a minor action?
Yep.
To bring it up?
Yep.
But I can give it but it has its own standard action. So, do I still have my own standard action?
Use your standard action to activate it.
Mm. But then it sticks around
until the end of the encounter.
Until the end of the encounter. So, does that mean that then I get two actions in, or I still only get one standard action?
You only ever get one standard action. Okay. You can spend an action point to have you take a standard action and the succubus take a standard action.
Yeah, that's, you know, to be honest, and I think I've mentioned that before, that's one of the things that it just really bothers me about summoning creatures, is that if you've summoned a creature and you have the ability to summon a creature,
right,
then you should still have the ability to do your action and the creature should have its ability to do its action.
Well,
that's the only thing that exists
sort of in the form of the flaming sphere. In that
you
summon the thing and then it quote unquote attacks on its own you know adjacent things but the summons, because they have basically, you know, a summon is a daily, so you're spending your daily thing, and a summon will have its ability that with a standard action you can use over and over,
right,
is comparable to either a high end, usually a high end at will power or a high end encounter power.
Mm.
So basically, really what a summon is it's something else for the enemies to attack that's not you.
Right.
That also allows you to make an attack that is usually more powerful than whatever at wills you have. At will for the rest of the fight.
But you also said Phantasmal Killer is one you don't recommend?
No, Phantasmal Killer's fine.
All right, so the Phantasmal Killer is a range of 10. The target becomes haunted by an illusion of its deepest fears, save ends. Until the illusion ends, the target can't make opportunity attacks and can use the secondary power against it. And you can use the secondary power against it. Whenever the target is either hit by or takes damage from any effect other than the secondary power, it can make another saving throw to end the illusion. Now, the secondary power is a standard action. Intelligence versus will, the attack roll takes no penalty from a concealment, if any. It's a 3D 10 plus intelligence modifier psychic damage attack, and if it misses, it takes half damage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. Pretty strong. And it's got a range of 20, so I can cast it within 10, but then the Phantasmal Killer can attack within 20.
Yeah, as long as he's within 20 squares of you, you can Phantasmal Killify him.
Oh, I see.
Now, here's the thing. This is similar. That's another thing with the summons. This power, that's not actually a summon, is similar to the Fireball or to the Flaming Sphere in that you need to make a ranged attack to use this secondary power, which means if you have somebody adjacent, they will get an attack of opportunity on you.
Right.
With a summoned critter,
you don't get that.
No, the critters themselves make the attacks.
Okay.
So any opportunity attacks that they would incur is their bag.
And then what were the other ones that you said to avoid? The summon Arrowhawk, summon Hellhound.
No, summon Arrowhawk is fine.
Summon Succubus.
That's out of arcane
Hellhound.
Power. Yeah, summon Hellhound, summon Succubus, and Animate Dead.
Okay.
And Tome of Transposition and Fire Scythe.
Fire Scythe, okay. So, Lightning Serpent. It is a range 10, one creature. 2d12 plus intelligence modifier lightning damage, and the target takes ongoing 5 poison damage and is slowed, save ends both. On a miss, half damage, and the target is slowed, save ends. Ooh, that sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that caught my fancy, since Orym seems to like lighting things on fire. Wall of Fire. Check this out. Wall 8 within 10 squares. You conjure a wall that consists of contiguous squares filled with arcane fire. It can be up to 8 squares long and up to 4 squares high. The wall lasts until the end of your next turn. Any creature that starts its turn adjacent to the wall takes 1d6 plus intelligence modifier fire damage. If a creature moves into the wall's space or starts its turn there, the creature takes 3d6 plus intelligence modifier damage. Entering a square occupied by a wall costs 3 extra squares of movement. The wall blocks line of sight. And then I can... so does that block line of sight for both? Everybody?
For everybody.
Oh, that's not...
It's a big wall of arcade fire.
Well, I thought maybe that our party, you know, if I threw up the fire, we could still have the advantage of being able to target through.
Basically, this thing, you have to think really carefully about where you're going to drop it.
Yeah.
Because you'll notice, if you go back through and read... Everything that it references are creatures. So
that means everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
You, your party, anything that's near it is going to take damage. Anything that goes through it is going to take damage. In a party that is... we'll say Indiana Jones is its way around rather than say Larry Curly and Moe's its way around.
I like to think of us as kind of like the Jerry Lewis of adventuring.
Hello, nice monster, please don't bite us with the thing in the glade.
Hey, dragon.
Yeah,
that one is, what it does have, here, it says it lasts till the end of my next turn, but it says it's a sustained minor, the wall persists. So this is kind of like Flaming Sphere, right? Yeah.
Okay. It's a big Flaming Sphere that I believe doesn't move.
No, it doesn't move, but I mean, that's still pretty freaking cool.
You can do a lot of things with it if you want to get clever with it, but, you know, there's a lot, it's dangerous, it's a dangerous power.
It's a dangerous power. I would say that the referential potential is strongest with the one you won't let him have.
The succubus? Yes, and along with your Victoria's Secret power, it could be into some very interesting things.
Fire Scythe?
Yeah. I love the Fire Scythe Theater.
Oh.
And it had to be there. Don't crush that dwarf. Hand me the pliers. Stop being so young, Rodrigo. My God.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm not big on the visions of ruin.
Right.
That doesn't seem very cool. Faces of death. The target is immobilized.
Really,
the target is immobilized. So that means they can't do anything.
No, that means they can't move.
Oh, so they can attack.
They can still attack. They can take their regular actions.
So the first failed saving throw, the target is helpless, which does what?
That actually means that they can't do anything.
The after effect, so that means after they save, the target is slowed, and then on a miss, the target is immobilized, save ends. Well, so whether I hit or miss, the target is immobilized. That's kind of cool.
Now you're thinking to yourself, say, there seems to be no drawback to this power, right? I mean, you hit, they're immobilized. If they succeed, they still get screwed. If I miss, they still get screwed, right?
Yeah.
So what's the drawback of the power? Do you see any dice in there?
No, I don't. This is no damage. This is the controller.
That's right. This is basically an all control power.
Yeah. Well, I don't like that at all. What about Circle of Death?
Oh, I don't like you leveling up to 9, Matthew.
Circle of Death. Each creature in the burst. The target takes necrotic damage equal to your level. It's also dazed, slowed, and weakened.
Target I love
takes
that
necrotic
movie.
Damage equal to your level. So they're only going to take 9 damage. But if I miss, they take half damage, and the target is slowed until the end of your next turn.
Right. This is another big control power.
Yeah.
But do remember that it's an area burst 2, so it's actually pretty large. That's a...
Burst 2 within 10 squares, that's a 4x4?
No. It's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a 5x5 square.
Oh, okay. So it's whatever the burst, and then 2 on either side of that?
It's 1 square, and then 2 out.
Oh, okay. All right.
Directions.
Yep, so... But that hits creatures, so again, you have to cast it away from your friends. But, I mean... Making it so that you can make something dazed, slowed, and weakened, that's pretty huge. That means that something's only attacking you once, can't move very far, and if they do hit you, they're only dealing half damage.
And even if you miss, you're still doing a little bit of damage.
Yep.
So dazed, slowed, and weakened, but a save ends all of those. So they don't have to do a saving throw for each one.
Right. They would just, if they hit a 10 once, that all would go away.
Yeah, and that's only a one-time dealy bopper. Man, I'm thinking more along the lines of this lightning serpent. Seems to be of all the ones that I've looked at.
Well, do you remember that you get to pick 2?
Oh, okay. Well, because you know that's the interesting thing. It says, and again, I know you're going to tell me why, but in the character builder, it says choose one power.
Right. Go ahead and choose lightning serpent. We can go back and change it later if you want a different one.
I think I like that lightning one. It's a range 10, one creature, so I could attack Torque if he's being a dick, right?
I guess so. If you're prepared to deal with the consequences of that.
But even then.
You know, if you're going to attack Torque, you might want to hit him with the one that dazes him so you can get away.
Or Wall of Fire. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to select. And we get an error message again. Come on.
Yay, silver lights.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is. Okay.
Now, what does your builder tell you?
Okay, now it says, level 9, daily 2.
Yep.
Choose a power.
There you go.
So we're going to do Lightning Serpent, and I get to choose one more of these.
Yep. Have you looked at...
What's Mordekaiser's Sword?
Well, what is Mordekaiser's
Sword? What is it? Mordekaiser's Sword.
Mordekaiser. He was a
palace. It's a range 10, one creature adjacent to the sword. I conjure a sword of force in an unoccupied square within range, and it attacks. As a move action, you can move the sword to a new target within range. Sword lasts until the end of your next turn. Ooh. 1d10 plus intelligence modifier force damage. When you sustain the sword, it attacks again. So this is the stabby version of flaming sphere
right.
Fireball.
Except that this one, every time you sustain it, attacks.
Oh, so right? Yeah.
So with the flaming sphere, you have the sphere out,
right.
And if you want to channel an attack through it, you can.
Right.
This one, you basically get that attack for free whenever you sustain it, as long as there's something adjacent to it.
So I can move it. So in the sustain, I can move it within the range. Mm-hmm. If it lands next to somebody,
right.
It attacks. And I still have a standard action myself.
Yep. You could still.
So this is a double attack.
This is kind of a double attack.
Oh,
yeah.
That's it then. Well, wait a minute. What's Guardian Hound? He's got a Guardian Hound as well. You conjure a medium Guardian Hound that occupies one square within range, and the Hound makes the following melee attack. Once per round as a minor action, you can have the Hound repeat its attack. As a minor action, you can move the Hound six squares. The Hound lasts until the end of the encounter or until you dismiss it with a free action. Target one creature adjacent to the Hound. Intelligence versus Reflex, 3d4 plus intelligence modifier damage. The target takes a -2 penalty to its next attack roll that targets you. Now, that also sounds like a double attack power. Ooh. Oh, I'm torn here. Sword, Guardian Hound, or Faces of Death? No. I really like this sword one. Mordenkainen. What is it? Mordenkainen's sword. I like that one. That one is... That's a 1d10. The other one is a 3d4, so it's basically a 10 versus 12.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to get the Hound to work, you have to have a minor and possibly... Well, you either can use a minor action to move it or a minor action to attack it. You
right.
can't move and attack.
Right.
Unless I take a standard action and convert it to two minor actions.
You can only trade an action for an action.
Oh, okay.
We have been playing for 2 years, yeah, Steven. Yeah,
yeah. Well, we play like, what, 12 times in those 2 years?
I guess so.
Okay. I'm going with the sword.
Actually, Steven, it's been like 22.
Really?
So okay. Like yeah. Double that.
All right.
Not only that, some of us have actually played. And
I really like this sword simply because I really like that sword.
All right. So let's go through and read it again.
It's an arcane.
Yep. Daily power arcane. Conjuration, force,
yep.
Implement.
Standard action.
Mm-hmm.
You conjure a sword of force in an unoccupied square within range, which is 10,
mm-hmm.
and it attacks. As a move action, you can move the sword to a new target within range. The sword lasts until the end of your next turn. It says one creature adjacent to the sword. So anybody too close to the sword
could
be attacked. Right. Attack intelligence versus reflex, a 1d10 plus intelligence modifier force damage. Sustain minor, when you sustain the sword, it attacks again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything really super wrong with that.
No.
I think, what is an arrow hawk?
An arrow hawk is going to be an actual summon, like the ones
yeah.
you don't like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's going to have a stronger attack because you summon it as a minor action instead
right.
of a standard.
Right.
It kind of like reverses that
mm-hmm.
whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's an actual thing that can be attacked. So again, it'll draw some fire away from you potentially.
Right.
You as a standard action, you can have it shift three squares, attack melee one, targets one creature, intelligence versus reflex, 1d10 plus intelligence modifier damage, and the target is marked by the arrow hawk until the end of your next turn.
Mm.
And then you can also have it make opportunity attacks. So this is like having a little mini torque.
Right, right, right. I don't know. I still like the sword.
Yeah, and the sword fits since Orym has a little bit of a sword fixation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not that means anything.
No, certainly not.
For some reason, it's always choosing the biggest swords. The biggest, yeah,
biggest,
broadest.
Longest, broadest swords.
All right, let's see what we have here.
Also, I think it's funny that the other power you chose was a snake.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. And then All right, so then I can hit next, and we are back. I think we're leveled up.
Should be able to save it.
Okay, save. Okay, I think we're saved. Okay, so now then, the next time that we get to play with these level 9 characters, mm-hmm. what do I choose then? Because I get 3 dailies now.
Right, so go pull up your character sheet and we'll look at your dailies.
All right. Okay, let's go down.
And here's where we play, can Steven line up all his powers?
Can I line them
up? Here's a hint. You can look at what level they are, and that should make things a lot easier for you. So you don't need to worry about the encounter ones.
Right.
So any attack power in red, you don't need to worry about.
Right. So I'm just looking at the gray dailies.
Right.
All right. So I get... I'm going to forget the numbers. So I can get... what level is this one? Do they go in order from the level up? It looks like
the,
it.
The level should be in the box somewhere. No, not finding it.
I don't see him there.
Hang on.
Oh, there they are. Okay.
Good. I'm yep. glad I got halfway out of the chair.
I've got level 1s, 5s, and 9. So I get one of each of those.
Correct.
1-1, 1-5, and 1-9.
Mm-hmm.
So I could go with a Flaming Sphere.
Mm-hmm.
I could go with a Mordekaiser Sword.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go with a Fireball if I wanted, or I could go with a Phantasmal Assailant as those dailies.
Right. And remember, it's going to be the same thing for your utility powers.
Excellent. All right, so there's 3 there, and then so we look at our utility powers. We have 2, 6, and so I only get to choose how many of those, though? Just
1 per level.
Oh, okay, so I can choose 1, 2, 1, 6. So I can choose all of those.
Same deal.
Guardian Blades, Dimension Door, and Refocus.
Because you have powers at 2, 6, and...
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that other one 6? Oh, yeah, so I can do Guardian Blades or Dimension Door or Refocus.
Right.
Excellent. So that's a lot of daily powers. That's
yes.
5
wizards,
right there.
Wizards get a lot of... Well, yes. Well, no. You should have 3 daily powers.
Okay.
Or 3 uses of daily powers.
Okay.
That's what everybody has. And that's all you're ever going to have.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because, you know, not counting utility powers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was counting.
3 attack powers.
That's what I was doing. 3
because
attacks
the next time
utilities.
You get a daily, the next time you get a daily power, the daily attack power, it'll, you'll get, because you're a wizard, you'll get 2, and those 2 will bump off the other 2 that you have.
Oh, so I'll only get to use only 3 all the time.
You will only
oh,
ever okay. have 3 daily and 3 encounter powers.
Okay. All right, well, hey, that's good
enough.
And
I'll just let you guys know now, you can start whining about it now, so that when we hit it, we can just hit the ground running.
Man, only 3 powers!
3!
That's
you
good.
Suck! Big B had more
do you have,
than 3 powers.
Do you have another hard lemonade on you?
Yes, I do.
All right.
You need it?
Maybe for this, I will start drinking.
All right. Let us get to, really quickly,
you know who had more than
1.
Tensor.
Actually, I'm pretty sure that fool only had 1 floating disc.
Yep.
Yeah, you can mock him, but he and Otto were hysterical at parties.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let Rodrigo answer part 2 of this, and I'll answer part 1. This is from Anthony. Hey there, I'm really enjoying all the materials that you guys put out. Planning on contributing with one of your new Fandangled subscription services soon. I just have a couple of questions. Number 1, I recently liked Major Spoilers on Facebook, and while I like knowing about the articles released each day, I'm curious if you could somehow disperse the announcement of said articles throughout the day. There are other sites that seem to have their article announcements on a timed release of sorts. This way, even though all of the articles went up at the same time, they're announced about 2 to 3 hours apart. It'd be really handy if not a clogging into blah, 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 blah. I don't believe that's possible with the system that we use. Mm-hmm. At one point, we had a plugin that was feeding Facebook
right.
the stories at the exact same time that we release them on the site, but that plugin doesn't work anymore. And so we're going through a different service that I think feeds Facebook once a day or twice a day, but it also doesn't release them in the right order, I've noticed.
Weird.
It just throws up stories seeming randomly up on the Facebook page. So I understand that frustration for everybody that's a fan or a like of Major Spoilers over on Facebook. We really appreciate that you do that. Unfortunately, that's just the one problem that I have right now, and I just haven't had the time to go look for an alternative plugin. That's the only reason.
It should be noted that the plugin that we used that did what you are asking us to do made everything else a continual cluster schmoz.
Yeah, and also affected our Twitter feed. My favorite thing about the it was Feed Facebook was one of the plugins, and the other one was, I think, Feed Twitter, I think. The one about the Twitter plugin that I really liked is the minute I hit publish on the story, it would go to Facebook and then it would immediately go to Twitter. Now the service that we're going through, I think it's like every 15 minutes or it seems like every 30 minutes, actually. So you'll be watching Twitter and all of a sudden five stories will suddenly appear that weren't there before. And it's one of those things that I'm not a big fan of, but at least we're feeding
really
the social media.
It's really disturbing when you haven't finished writing that story and it happens. That's
we are doing our best to feed the social media monster. Number two, I love listening to Critical Hit, but have gotten a little lost in the story. Would you guys be willing to provide some kind of season synopsis for those like me who are interested in listening but don't have the time or sometimes the attention span to keep up with the story? Thank you and keep up with all the good work. Rodrigo?
Do we want to do this?
I guess my thing is if you need the briefest synopsis possible, look at the show notes, because I'll usually tell you what's happening
just
in there.
Go from show notes to show notes.
Where, like, for example, a couple of episodes ago, the crew arrive on a mysterious island and are attacked. That kind of tells you what goes on in that episode. When you go in and read the Ghost Pirates, the crew is captured by pirates, and it's up to them to escape. And so you can kind of get an idea of that. Some of them are a little bit leading.
I think it'd be safe to give like a 20,000 foot view, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of what those show notes are, is that 20,000 foot view. Rodrigo, do you have any other ideas? I just prefer people to go back and listen. Download and listen.
Yes, download and listen to it again. I wonder what exactly this person is lost. I think a specific question would help us out a lot more, because I mean, I can give you a brief synopsis of what's been going on, but chances are you're going to miss what exactly you were confused about.
Right,
like,
right.
If you're confused about why are all these guys on ships, then you missed a pretty vital part of the of the story.
Yes. And really, season two has been going on for so long.
Yeah. Season two is now, I think, officially longer than season one.
Season one. So I think we're at a year, right? Pretty close.
Probably.
And so to recap an entire year, 52 episodes worth of fun, you're going to be missing out on a lot of stuff, especially little intricacies, little quiet moments like Orm on a date, or Orm hanging with the dean, or Orm with his parasite-y sword, or Orm with his most awesome stuffs. You know, those little special moments are going to be totally
all those
awesome
moments that you missed because you fast forward when Steven starts talking. So basically what had happened was, a long time ago, there was a big-eyed guy named Orm. And as happens, he left his home and his family because he was no more than a boy in the company of strangers. And then he met these guys, and one of them was weird, and one of them was huge, and one of them was fuzzy, and then one of them died. And then there was another guy, and he's kind of mean. And now all four of them are off doing something in the Astral Sea that involves gathering stuff in order to do stuff. And they actually met gods, and one of those gods had a really great rack. The end.
So Saul writes in and says, to Torque and the Torkel Tones and the evil GM Rodrigo too. Hey guys, your show is the absolute best. I just finished listening to your entire run of episodes, up to and including The Return of Smith. With no pods left to listen to, I realized there's only one thing left to do. Listen to the series again! And there are a number of people who do that.
Mm-hmm.
With 2-year-old at the home, gaming time is limited, but during the commute, the time is mine, and I join you all as your secret fifth member. So Hawk Ninja, who invisibly takes out your enemies behind the scenes. Hiya! Normally, my 2-year-old only wants to hear kids' songs in the car, but fortunately, she finds your podcast very funny, especially Torx squawking like a duck and Orm singing a lullaby in episode 9. Ooh, did I sing a lullaby in episode 9?
That's another thing, is that we have... Okay, there's a lot of things that go on here. One, we've been recording these shows for a long time. Two,
yes,
we 22 seconds. This is something that you have to understand about all of us, and me specifically. We are clowns, so we throw out a lot of jokes. We throw out a lot of jokes, and half the time we don't even remember saying those jokes.
Yeah. And half the time, you know, as people can tell, half the time I don't remember what we do from session
right,
to session.
Right, right. Nothing specific. Like, you remember the general gist of happened.
Usually.
Actually, sometimes he doesn't even get that.
Exactly.
Sometimes
exactly.
I don't,
there are times where Steven is like, okay, so I'm the fighter, right?
Have you ever considered a children's CD? It would be pure gold. As soon as my ukulele skills improve and Rodrigo gets back into his, or transfers his drum set from Ohio down
sleep.
Here.
Yep. Go to sleep. Don't make me hit you in the face.
For Rodrigo. Well, I always take my parenting from Homer Simpson when my son's crying and whining. There, there, boy. Shut up. for Rodrigo.
Could Homer. Be worse. It could be just the like the Wednesday Addams style of there, there.
Yeah.
It'll be over soon.
For Rodrigo, I wanted to know why the throne and diamond throne is not covered with diamonds. That's how I pictured it anyway, but later found out it was just wood. Maybe they fell on tough times and had to sell the diamonds? Were they stolen? Did the Soul Hawk the Ninja get them? Or is it all a metaphor meant to represent the greatness of this city?
It
Thanks,
is,
everyone. You're all awesome.
It is, in fact, to a certain degree, a metaphor. See, and we only very briefly touched about the royal families of Diamond Throne.
Right.
There used to be kind of warring factions, and eventually they were all unified. And, you know, the Diamond Throne is sort of this kind of platonic ideal of the rulership. It's a synecdoche or a metonymy. I always get them confused. But
what are you talking about, nerd?
It represents, you know, sort of that unification that, you know, disparate clans are vulnerable, but together they are as hard as a diamond. And yeah, obviously the king sits on a throne. It's the Diamond Throne.
I hate it when you do that. I need you to continue speaking English during the shows. I don't even know.
I was thinking maybe he has been on the throne for 25 years.
That's right. True. That could also be.
But he didn't seem that old when we met.
No, no.
You know,
he's actually pretty young.
My husband used to stay on the throne for like hours at a time.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for those questions. And thank you for all the 5-star comments over there on iTunes. We really appreciate each and every one of you who do that. Next week, we're going to be back with further adventures of my guess is we're going back to the to the Seven Owls Wise and the those guys, those other guys.
Yeah, that's probably a safe guess.
All right, because that's how Rodrigo's been playing this game, and that's how we do it, too. And here's hoping the next time you play a game that all your dice rolls are critical hits.
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.